In our deep dive this week, we take a look at US small cap stocks. Going to be very interesting to dig into this because we don't really know how to define small caps. There's no universal definition for it, but we're going to look at that nonetheless. And we have a special guest joining us in studio to help us out with that, a good friend of ours, Fahima Adia, who works at Momentum Securities, to come give us some really good insights around this. Fahima, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for coming through. We were chatting about something unrelated to this, and a question came up around all the developments we've seen recently. And there was a post about Elon Musk put up something and someone was wondering if Elon Musk is a scam or not. And the question came up, would you rather have dinner with Bill Gates or Elon Musk, and why, if you had to choose?
Interesting question. I think I would probably choose Elon Musk.
Why?
I know he's a bit eccentric and a bit radical at times, but I think he's got interesting and exciting ideas for the future. It would just be great to pick his brain, learn more about his plans to... Okay, Simon is looking at me like a bit
surprised. I'm looking at Jimmy. Can I just do Nicki Minaj instead?
He's giving me a strange look.
Look, I want to know the reason for that.
She's the best female rapper that the world has ever seen. Next question.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. So we've got Elon Musk and Nicki Minaj.
Nicki Minaj is good. Too.
Okay. That makes sense. That's all right.
Bill Gates is so 1980s.
Yeah.
It's not something
people do.
I think
he's a bit old school now for us. Like, we want the future. We want high tech. Colonizing other planets. I recently heard that we're actually expected to live a lot longer than what we initially thought. So most people now expected to live beyond 100 years, they're saying, with the, you know, the developments in medical technology. So if that's the case, I mean, we're going to probably have to find other planets to move to, given the state of our current planets.
Yeah, but not Mars. Yo, you read about the terra firma on Mars. It is. I mean, the soil is poisonous.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's okay because we'll fix it, apparently, according to Elon,
you
would
die within hours.
Yeah. I don't think we have a plan.
I don't think as a human race, we have a real plan for what happens if we have to move to Mars. But hopefully it won't happen in our lifetime.
Yeah, but the reason for moving to Mars is because our sun has... I mean, one day our sun goes out, right? Mm-hmm. In which case, Mars is not the answer either.
Yeah, because you're moving to a planet in the same solar system.
You need to exit the galaxy.
Yes. Mm. Go find a new sun.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Good luck fitting everybody on the bus. We'll get quantum drivers to do it. South African taxi drivers, they can pack anyone in anything. So, deep dive. The small caps. Why small caps? That's such a weird space to look at. But more so in the US. US has got so many companies. How do you even start and say this is a small cap and this isn't?
So to give you the official definition of a small cap, it's basically a company that has a market cap between $250 million to around... $250 million, yeah, to around $2 billion.
That's a small cap.
That's a small cap. So it's actually the equivalent of our big caps, I'd say, on the JSE. So, yeah, but I mean, by US standard, that's considered small. And these small caps also, they have a unique profile in comparison to the bigger caps in that they're generally seen as higher growth, but they're riskier, of course, because of the early stage. They generally don't have as strong balance sheets as your bigger caps, not as much cash flow. So you wouldn't expect to see consistent or stable dividends there. But the main reason I'm looking at it now is because, and the rest of the market, I'd say, I mean, if you look at the performance of the Russell 2000 over the past quarter, that's really outperformed some of your other indexes, such as the NASDAQ, the S&P. And I think it's pretty much because it's been neglected thus far, you know. And if you compare the valuations, it's just trading at better prices in comparison to the likes of your big tech, you know, your Mag 7. We've seen S&P, NASDAQ reach record highs this year. There's been a bit of a pullback.
This week.
Yeah, this week, I would say even. I mean, so there's been a lot of short-term volatility, right? But it's still so high, I would say, if you look at the bigger companies, right? If you're looking at the NASDAQ, the S&P, it just doesn't seem like there's a lot more opportunity right now, given the volatility in that space. I just think investing in your smaller companies, given the better valuations, provides some defensiveness when it comes to that volatility. And the other important thing to bear in mind is now that we're going into a rate cutting cycle, a lot of these small caps are quite highly leveraged. And a lot of them have to depend on the banks to borrow money. You know, know, they don't have as strong balance sheets as your bigger caps, which means that now that interest rates are cut, this just basically reduces their borrowing costs and helps improve their profitability. So overall, I would say that's why I'm looking at some of these small caps right now.
Why small caps in the US and not small caps elsewhere? Because surely a small cap in South Africa, you could get at a much cheaper price, albeit, of course, much lower valuations and all sorts of things. Why the US market in particular?
So I think from, you know, a risk point of view, they're generally just a bit more secure, I would say, given the size of the US small caps, right? If you compare that to like a small cap in South Africa, it's already still so big, you know, but it's just considered small by US standards. So I would say that they still have access to better funding opportunities than the likes of our small caps in South Africa and more investment opportunity from overseas, from US investors. I think our small caps locally, so we've seen a bit of a turnabout in the performance, right? In the past few years, along with the, you know, the general better performance of the JSE. But generally, in risky environments or volatile environments, investors are more concerned, I would say, about SA small caps because they're perceived as being higher risk, you know, in comparison to your bigger caps. But yeah, I think in the US right now, there's just it's a good opportunity now to look at those small caps. Some of them are, like I said, just really undervalued in comparison to the bigger companies.
I mean, the rally broadens out and we, you know, we talk, I mean, the Russell's also almost at highs, but that rally has been so concentrated on tech, Mag 7, et cetera, et cetera. As it starts to broaden, brings the small caps into it. I would argue that our rally, and yes, our top 40 is just off highs, you know, we're not yet at that broadening space, although we are seeing small caps move left, right, and center. But, you know, our small caps by American standards are micro caps. I mean, exactly. I don't know what the word, nano caps or something. You know, where, for example, Finbond. I mean, Twitter gets excited and Twitter moves Finbond. You know, just a couple of folks on Twitter can push that stock because it's such low liquidity. So for private investor, yes, but if you've got any size, the local market's tough for the real small stocks.
Exactly, because of that lack of liquidity, you mentioned, you know, it's very difficult, I think, for like the bigger institutional investors to be able to invest in our local small caps because of the lack of liquidity.
And the range in the US. I mean, just the word Russell 2000.
But then should we not, from an institutional point of view, is it not partly the institutional responsibility to grow the small cap space? Because if we look at capital allocation in a market like South Africa, if the instos in South Africa aren't allocating to the capital markets, the retail guy doesn't have enough in there. So we're always going to have this problem. Whereas if you look at the US, they have instos allocating to the small caps and the medium caps on that side. And that's kind of how you build the market, isn't it? Surely that's...
Exactly. But I think that's the main issue we actually have on our JSE. And that's why we're seeing so many companies delist is because the institutional investors actually buy just because of the mandates, you know, they're forced to sometimes just invest in bigger companies because they're not allowed to hold, let's say, more than a certain percentage of a company. And if they went and invested in a small cap, then that would basically breach that requirement. They also have, you know, certain requirements in terms of like the balance sheets, the profitability of the companies that they invest in. You know, they need to be a lot more risk averse. A lot of the time, these institutional investors are managing pension money. And because the small caps are seen as generally riskier, it does limit, I would say, the bigger institutional appetite. So you'll find your bigger institutions kind of focusing on the same kind of bigger cap stocks. And you're 100% right. It's a big issue because you do find that your smaller companies on the JSE, particularly like your junior miners, they really struggle to find that capital to the extent where they're often forced to try listings offshore. We've actually seen, you know, companies like Renogen, for example, forced to go and list Orion in Australia. Yeah, looking to list in the US on the NASDAQ just because it's just so difficult for smaller companies to raise capital in the country.
That's another conversation for another day. But we are looking at the small cap space. What kind of gems are you seeing in the US small cap? Are you looking at specific sectors or are you just saying these companies kind of have good numbers and you're liking specific companies in that space?
So I think you need to be a bit cautious with the small caps. So the Russell 2000, if you take a closer look at that, a lot of the companies, they are actually loss making. I'd say more than 40% are loss making, right? A lot of them are early stage startups, biotech type of companies. So that is something to be mindful of. And if we look at the general like composition of the Russell 2000, a lot of it is made up makeup of the healthcare sector, mm-hmm. but that's actually underperformed. And then you've got your financials, which is actually doing quite well.
Mm.
So given that, I decided to just take a closer look at the financial side of the Russell 2000. So two companies that I found that seem to be doing quite well is Jefferies Financial Group. And then
Jefferies.
Yeah. And then also Piper Sandler. So if you look at Jefferies, it's basically involved, you've probably heard of Jefferies before, involved in investment banking. Yeah, yeah. They do a lot of research as well.
Mm, they're a powerhouse in the research space.
Yeah, yeah. Also involved in asset management. And they have quite a big presence. You know, they've got a presence in America, Europe, Asia. If we look at the performance of that stock, it's been doing really well year to date. It's up, I think, almost 54%. And given these pending interest rate cuts, well, I mean, we've already seen the first rate cut, but, you know, given that we're now within this rate cutting cycle, I think this is going to be just a tailwind for the company, you know, going forward. They're expected to see a lot of growth come from the M&A investment banking activities in particular. Analysts are saying growth and revenue from there could exceed more than 50% in the next year. So we're probably going to see quite a bit of upside. They've also said they've hired more directors in the business that have relationships and that can bring in that business. And then the other one that I looked at is also in a similar space. It's Piper Sandler. So that's also, you know, in that investment banking and financial advisory space. If you look at the performance of that stock, it's also up quite nicely, about 63% year to date. And again, the rate cuts will be beneficial for this company, you know, given that it will help boost the growth. They recently also hired a new executive for the financial sponsors division.
Mm-hmm.
And that new executive, like previous to Jefferies, also comes with some very good contacts that is expected to really boost the activity there.
How do you find them? I mean, these are needles in a haystack almost. Mm. I mean, I knew
2,000 stocks. We just picked out two.
Yeah, I mean, I knew Jefferies. I'd never heard of this one. I mean, how do you, I mean, on the JSE, it's easy. We could probably list all the small caps.
Yeah, you search them and then you know what they're.
You got a list like year long.
Yeah. So we actually have screeners that we use. Yeah, that's sort of linked to FactSet, which is a data provider.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of highlights the stocks that have, you know, been performing well, that have recently had a change in their rating from, say, consensus, that has positive earnings forecasts. And yeah, I think also just from reading a lot, you just generally tend to pick up the names that you keep hearing about in that small cap space.
Mm. What is your criteria for that? I mean, you've listed off a couple of different things that you can put into a screener, but a lot of the time when we look at kind of these decision-making processes, you might not have a screener. You might want to just find a really good small cap stock, whether it's local, whether it's international. What kind of criteria makes it easy? If you could just be like, here's a top three or a top five things you should look for that kind of make sense.
Yeah, so I think it's probably good to look for a company that has been profitable in the past, that is expected to be profitable going forward. You don't want to really be focusing, I think, on the more early stage small caps, because those are generally making losses and could take some time before you see some real growth. And yeah, I would say growth. You know, you really want to look for the companies that have a lot of growth expected. And the nice thing with the small caps is because they don't get a lot of coverage like the big caps do from the analysts, it's often possible, if you're willing to spend the time and do the research, to actually find a company like a hidden gem that can really, you know, shoot the lights out if you get it right, and see significantly more growth than you would see in the large caps, because, you know, they tend to be more mispriced because of that lack of coverage. So yeah, basically I would say the growth, the profitability, also look at the management team. You know, do they have a good management team in place? Do they have a solid track record? Have they been meeting expectations that they have been setting or missing expectations? Which markets are they focused on? Do they have a competitive advantage in those markets? And also obviously the balance sheet, you know, do they have sufficient funding to keep the business going, or are they heavily indebted? So those, I would say, are the key things to just bear in mind when looking at these companies.
So I like the point around, are they covered? So both Jefferies and that's Piper Pitt folks, only four analysts cover each.
Mm.
Whereas you look at a normal sort of, I don't know, S&P 500, a Mag 7, there's usually 80, 90, 100 plus covering it, which is almost takes you to the efficient market theory, right? Which says, you've got 100 people covering it, like everyone knows everything. What's your edge in this stock except just momentum and it's going higher? Whereas, yeah, four people cover it. No one knows it.
Exactly. And that's basically what creates that market mispricing.
Yeah. So you've got the opportunity for the cheapness.
Mm.
Then it starts to move. Everyone notices, jumps in.
You're already in.
Yeah.
As you're saying this, I'm thinking about the methodology that might have gone into uncovering a Tencent as an Umquist Becker, right? Because at some point, Tencent would have been the mid-cap. And for him to sit there...
When he bought it, wasn't it still VC?
See, at that point, it probably wasn't even a mid-cap. It wasn't even what it is today. But I suppose that's the value in the small to mid-caps, is that one day you could potentially unearth a Tencent, or you can unearth something that'll fundamentally change how things are moving forward, right?
Every big company was once a startup. Now, not every startup becomes a big company.
That's
but
true.
Every one of those S&P 500
was once a startup.
You know, a man or a woman in a garage.
Exactly.
Starting the business.
Like Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon. I mean, even Apple. I mean, all of them. Yeah. Microsoft, all of them, you know, will once say small little pipsqueak and not even a small cap.
So how do we invest in them? How do we, okay, we've identified them. We kind of have an idea of what research to do, where to look at and all of that. Is it easier to just say, I'm going to go buy the Russell 2000 index? Is it easier to find a small to mid cap ETF and say, that's the ETF that has kind of most of what I'm looking for? Let's do that. Or do you kind of go into each individual one? What's
So I think it depends on the investor and your individual risk tolerance. Also, you know, the access that you have to research and the time that you have also, like, as an individual investor to put into researching these companies. I think if, let's say, you're just looking for general overall exposure, then you could go and buy the Russell 2000 ETF tracker fund. We are expecting to see further gains there. So there will be some modest gains in that to come. But if you want to see more returns, then you would have to delve down and do some stock picking and to really try and find those hidden gems, which will then, you know, generate a lot more returns if you get that right. So I think it just all depends on the investor and what it is they're looking for.
I also can't help wondering, if you look at the local market, we've got the mid cap from F&B, right? ETF, which is sort of the smallest that we have. But that mid cap is still, these are all profitable companies. You know, it's AVIs and the like of the world. The Russell 2000, I always can't help thinking, you've kind of got too much almost of a hodgepodge. And to your earlier point, what, 40% are not even profitable and the like. So, you know, I'm a huge fan of ETFs, but when we go to small caps, I'm actually a bigger fan of go and find the actual stock or an actively managed fund where someone else is doing that heavy lifting
for you. Research for you and the management of it.
A company that specializes in managing, you know, small cap funds, I would say, like Simon says, that's probably the best way to get access there. But mentioning the mid caps, that's also another important point, is if you don't have the risk tolerance for the small caps, the mid caps, generally they have a market cap between $2 billion and $10 billion. And they generally tend to have stronger fundamentals than your small caps, stronger balance sheets, and they're generally maybe can be perceived as less riskier. So there's also an index that tracks the mid caps in the US. I think it's called the S&P Mid Cap 400. So that's also another, you know, potential index to have a look at.
Which comes back to what Simon was saying, is that at some point, that for it to get to a mid cap, it would have had to have been a small cap, it would have had to have been a startup. So it's just about where the risk sits, right? And on that risk side of it as well, I mean, it's important to note that this is why we're going on about doing your own research. You've seen the disclaimers on our podcast. We're not giving financial advice. We're just sharing our own opinions. And that's kind of what you need to take from it, is to say, if I'm interested in this particular market or this particular sector, I need to go do a certain level of my own homework or speak to a financial advisor that can do that. Please don't come back to us and say, we gave you financial advice, because then we're going to have a very awkward conversation. But on that note, we've unfortunately run out of time, Fahima. Thanks so much for giving us your insights. I think it's been quite an interesting perspective to share on how small caps and medium caps can kind of be approached from an investment point of view, but also just from an interest point of view. And on that note, that's the deep dive.